Deuteronomy chapter 14. You are the children of Yahweh your God. You must not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead, for you are a holy people unto Yahweh, and he has chosen you to be a people for his own possession above all peoples who are on the face of the earth. The idea was that people were loyal to their idols, and they therefore cut themselves. You think of the prophets of Baal doing that on Mount Carmel, and they cut their hair in a certain way to show their loyalty to their idol. But God says, you're my children. I am your God. Therefore, you mustn't do these things that suggest that you actually worship another god. And then you have a list of the clean and unclean foods. And I think that this also was related to idol worship. You must not eat any abominable thing. Well, abominable and abomination is the word used about the idols. Paul says there's nothing unclean of itself. So there's not some animals who are kind of clean and some that are unclean in a moral sort of sense. I think, therefore, that the unclean animals that they weren't allowed to have anything to do with were therefore animals that were associated with abomination, with idol worship. And so these laws were relevant to them at that time, and as we know from the New Testament, they've now been done away with. Jesus says it is what comes out of the heart that makes you unclean, not what goes into your mouth. And Peter had to be taught this, that he said, I was taught through the vision that he was given of eating clean and unclean animals, that there is nothing unclean of itself. And we're told that Jesus, when he said that, when he said that it's what comes out of the heart that matters, not what goes into the mouth, thereby made all foods clean. Paul says, he repeats this, he says, you can eat what you want. This is evidence enough that these old laws are now part of the old covenant and we're under the new covenant and they don't apply to us. Anyway, these are the animals which you may eat, the ox, the sheep, the goat, etc. Every animal that has a split hoof and chews the cud, you may eat. Now, chewing the cud, what this refers to is the way that some animals have got more than one stomach. They eat something and they chew it up and swallow it into one of their tummies, and then they sort of vomit it up again into their mouth and they chew it again and swallow it into another stomach. And some of them even chew it again and vomit it back up again and they swallow it into yet another stomach. The idea is that you don't just gobble up what first comes into your mouth, but you think about it, you chew it over. And the split hoof might imply that they were to be sure-footed in the way that they lived. Well, as I say, there is nothing unclean of itself. And they're warned about some animals that chew the cud but don't have a split hoof. The camel, the hare, and the rabbit. In other words, yes, they do chew everything over, but their way of life is wrong. They don't have a split hoof. They are not sure-footed. The pig has a split hoof, but doesn't chew the cud, so it's unclean to you. Some people might appear to have a good way of life, but they are not really chewing the cud of God's word. They're not really taking it into themselves. And so it goes on, warning about various kinds of birds and of sea creatures that were clean or unclean. You must not eat of anything that dies of itself. You may give it to the foreigner living among you who is within your gates. He may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner. You must not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Well, I think again this is in the context of idolatry. This was a habit that they had amongst the idol worshippers. You were not to do anything that is connected with idol worship. And I think also that you see in that command not to boil a young goat in its mother's milk, I think you see there God's sensitivity to animals. How awful it would be for a goat to give birth and for its young goat to be sucking its milk, and then its milk is squeezed out of it and boiled up, and its little baby goat is boiled to death in its own milk, in the mother's milk. This would be awful for the mother goat. So God is so sensitive, and so we should be as well. You shall surely tithe all the increase of your seed year by year. You shall eat before Yahweh your God in the place which he shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil, the firstborn of your flock, that you may learn to respect Yahweh. If the way is too long for you, so that when Yahweh your God shall bless you, that is, I think, when the borders of the land were expanded beyond Canaan right up to the Euphrates River, that was God's intention to do that to them, although they didn't really want it. If the way is too long for you, when Yahweh blesses you, and you're not able to carry it because the place which Yahweh has chosen to set his name there is too far from you, then you must turn it into money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which Yahweh shall choose. And you may spend the money on whatever you wish, cattle or sheep, and you may eat there before Yahweh your God and rejoice. Now there's a very clear connection in all these commands about rejoicing when you make a sacrifice or when you give something. The idea is that by giving, that is the way to joy. We're told by Paul that God loves a cheerful giver. Not someone who gives because, well, that's what everybody else is doing, supporting this good cause or whatever, but you personally give and are rejoicing that you gave, even though you are now minus. That money I saved, I don't have it, but I rejoice. This is the most wonderful thing, to be joyful in giving. The Levite who is within your gates you must not forsake, for he has no portion or inheritance with you. At the end of every 3 years you must bring forth all the tithe of your increase and store it within your gate. And the Levite, the foreigner, the fatherless and the widow will come and eat and be satisfied, that Yahweh your God may bless you in all the work of your hand. So by giving, instead of hoarding it all up for yourself, you will be further blessed. Now, the Levites didn't have any land inheritance. The idea was that they lived on what the people gave them by way of sacrifices, by tithes, etc. And there was this special tithe every 3 years in addition to the normal tithes, so that they might focus upon the service of God. Now, Israel didn't generally pay these tithes to the Levites, and so by the time of the judges, you find the Levites are wandering around the country trying to just pick up odd work here and there, and so they're not doing their job. And so things went down and down. Because there were no Levites doing their job, the people didn't know what God's word was, because people were illiterate, they couldn't read, and so the Levites were not teaching them God's word. We are the Levites, the New Testament says, and therefore we should be like them, just having a very light hold on material stuff and focused upon God's work and the wonder and the honor of serving him and spreading his word to other people.